World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I just realized it's a juggling act. That's where my great frustration comes from. The Holy Spirit just said that to me. It's a juggling act. See, what are you talking about, Coach? Well, it's my juggling act. My frustration comes from the balance between being a realist and an optimist. Think about that a second. Think of that struggle that goes on inside of us. By looking, for instance, looking at your gas tank, there's no gas in it. The needle says no gas, and you're 10 miles from a intersection where you can get gas, and you pray, Lord, help me get there. And there's that struggle in you between what your gas tank really says and what you really believe, or what you want to believe. And the battleground of the mind is, which one of those two are you in fact going to believe? That's where we are. And we were commenting a little bit before we got rolling here this morning. I'm an optimist. My mom, from the time I was a little kid, my mom always called me a cockeyed optimist. Now, I don't know what it means to be cockeyed. I'm just an optimist. I always thought we were winning or getting ready to win. Or we lost, but it was a mistake and we'll make it better next time. I never, ever in my whole life ever gave in to realistic defeatist beliefs. Never did. I refuse right now. I get, when you send me those emails, folks out there, those of you who send me those emails, say, Coach, appreciate what you do, but we're finished. It's over. It's done. I put those in the trash right away. Put those in the trash. So you're either going to be a realist optimistically or a realist pessimistically, and it's going to drive your whole life, friends. And can I tell you the truth? See, the church, ooh, this is really good. The church is schizophrenic. We're schizophrenic. The church preaches a happy, 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 happy message while believing the world's gone to hell. That's schizophrenic. How can you preach a happy message while the church is going to hell? Oh, I know why. Because they've told you that we win in the end. And so you take that and you internalize that and you look at the reality of what's going on and say, well, don't worry about that because we win in the end. See, I see what's going on in the world and say, hey, we can stop that before the end gets here. That's the way I see it. Somebody, you're welcome to correct me. You tell me I'm nuts. But see, it all comes down to what really is faith. What is faith? Is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My friends, if you can see it, it isn't faith. If you can touch it, it isn't faith. Faith is speaking to those dry bones, have life. That's faith. Faith is walking over to the bones that are now alive, say, boy, good, glad you're back to life. No. See, faith is believing without seeing. And the contrast to that is negative faith. You can believe bad things too. And so we're in a situation here in the good old US of A. I've never, if you're out there and you don't believe in the dark side, if you don't believe that there's a devil, and if you don't believe in the supernatural, and you don't believe in demons, I don't even know what to tell you. The stuff that's going on in America is so unbelievably outside the box demonic. How did that happen? Or as our good friend, Bob would say, Bob out there in Arkansas, as Bob would say, what really happened? What really happened? How do we get in this mess? What really happened? And so halftime, time out. We're going to the locker room. I gather our coaches around us. So what's going on, guys? What happened? And they tell me, and I say, okay, well, let's fix it. Let's fix it. Let's stop that. Does the church have that attitude at all? Do we as Christians have that attitude at all? Let me go another direction with you too. You know, we're Bobby Lee's working really, really hard trying to put together a tornado relief team to go down to Kentucky. And God bless him. I've done, folks, that's how I got really started in a lot of what we do. We've done a lot of that. And I've never, ever in my life been able to explain to myself or explain to anybody else why people, their pocketbooks open up for natural disasters and their pocketbooks remain closed for really, really important issues. I've never been able to explain that. The literally millions, if not billions of dollars that are going to flood into Kentucky from God-fearing Christian people will be overwhelming to watch. It will be the gospel in action. But what is it about hurricanes and tornadoes that so move the heart of the person who sees it? What is that? Why is it that a picture of a destroyed town so moves us, but the picture of a destroyed country doesn't?
Or a broken baby ripped from the womb.
Or destruction of the family. Or the introduction of folks. It exposes to us the carnality of our Christianity. By that I mean this. I've looked at some of those pictures down there in Kentucky. I've been to a lot of disasters. I know what it looks like. I know that emotion, those people that lost everything. And that's why it's easy for us to look at that and relate to it. Because we say, golly, what would it be like if your house got blown away? That would...
Materialism, coach.
Randy, what would happen? Why are we not as aggrieved? Is that the right word? Why are we not as aggrieved as someone else's child being lured into homosexuality? Why doesn't that grieve us the same way? Why doesn't our heart grieve the same for the little children that are being trafficked in America? Why doesn't that grieve us? Why doesn't it grieve us? I don't, can somebody, Randy popped in there, but folks, this is a strong, we need an introspection into Christianity and ask ourselves why we react so strongly when disaster hits, but do so little to prevent it from happening. Urban Meyer got fired, right? The great football coach at Urban Meyer got fired down in Jacksonville today after 13 weeks or whatever, 13 games. He got fired. And I can tell you right now why Urban Meyer failed. I can just tell you. Because he didn't follow the scripture which says no man builds a tower, gets halfway through it, and decides it's more than he's willing to build. He wasn't all in at the beginning. He thought, I'll go give this a try. And when he gave it a try and it got hard and he realized everybody had good players and everybody had good coaches and it was different. And then all of a sudden some of these other college jobs open up. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. His heart wasn't really into what he was doing. It was coming. I bet he's not sad this morning. I bet he's breathing a sigh of relief. He probably got a $12 million severance package, and now he doesn't have to go deal with that anymore. He can go fishing or do whatever he wants to do. See, we're not into mom, I hear you, Mama Pearl. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Isn't it? And we see all across America, Everybody, their hearts are breaking for what happened in that tornado, and mine does too. But we're not heartbroken about the fact that the minds of our children. The Bible, Jesus said it would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and be thrown into the deepest part of the ocean than allow the souls of these little children to be destroyed.
Amen.
And for the most part, we don't raise a finger against it. Folks, sometimes I feel like I'm just singing the same song over and over and over and over. This is my very being.
Amen.
That I'm sharing with you. And I'm grieving for the people who lost everything in Kentucky. I grieve for them. But they'll rebuild. How do you rebuild a life destroyed by homosexuality or a life destroyed by a woman who had an abortion? Or how do you do that? How do you do that? And that's the great divide in Christianity, in my opinion. We love mercy ministry. Mercy. You know why you love mercy ministry? Because you can go get a chainsaw, clean up somebody's yard, and you feel better for it.
It doesn't offend anybody.
And it doesn't offend anybody. But if you have to go stand outside that abortion clinic, or you have to be a pain in the arse like Reggie is with her little child brigade, that doesn't make friends, and it's not comfortable to do.
Amen.
That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why there has to be a total reformation in Christianity. I don't. If Christianity is to survive, we need another reformation. I don't know what it's going to look like, but Pastor Glitter Teeth, Pastor Happy Talk, Pastor Come to Our Church, folks. Have you noticed the names of churches? Have you noticed the names? I was looking at some of them this morning. People name their church, you know the names, the happy names they give to their church. The message is what? Sin. Sin's the message, not happy. Not you're going to be delivered and you're going to be better and now your life's going to be good. No. That's not the, folks, that isn't the gospel message. It's part of the gospel message, but it's not the full gospel message. That's why we see Kentucky get destroyed and we feel bad because we love our stuff. We don't want to lose our stuff. Well, we don't care if the guy across the street loses his children to the gay agenda. We don't care about that. We don't care that our government spends trillions and trillions of dollars and locks our grandchildren in financial prison. We don't care about that. Well, that would require us doing something. I got to say one more thing here real quickly. This was sort of my opening notes, although not ready. Not really. OJ's better. Thank God OJ's getting better. I'm looking at my notes. Folks, you won't care about this, but this is, again, it's just another evidence. The Cleveland Browns now have, last count, 20 people who can't play this week because of COVID. Now, listen, they don't have COVID. not a one of them sick. You get what's going on? At what point does sanity enter into this situation again? At what point? And why does the NFL bow to their government overlords? Well, we know why, because they're 501c3s. The NFL is a 501c3. That's good. Huh? They got to bow to the government. So I'm not making it up. So the Cleveland Browns are supposed to play somebody this weekend, and 20 of their players, 20, can't play because they had a test that said they have something that their body doesn't even show they have. When is common sense gonna prevail again? All right, I got more I wanted to talk about, but I'm gonna stop right there. Come on in, Silver.
Thank you, Coach. Tango Romeo Uniform Tango Hotel. We have no idea what that is because we don't illustrate. We don't teach it. We don't even believe it. Okay. That's why twisters emanate funds. But children in dumpsters, you don't care.
That's it.
Doesn't affect you.
That's it, man.
All right. Let's look at it as not affecting you personally. How about affecting you as a nation.
Amen.
Because this nation is over.
Joe, let me tell you another thing I found out, Joe, when we go to all those, when we go to those hurricane tornado things. You as you help people, you cut up trees, you move, ask them how they're doing. I said, well, it's okay. You ready, folks? A female will be here on Monday. Not the church. Heaven forbid. FEMA will be here. FEMA will be here on Monday. Right? Right? See, we reap what we sow. Jesus said, you can look outside and see storm clouds. Bill, no, it's going to be a storm. He says, you hypocrites. Why can't you understand what's going on around you? What the heck's wrong with you? There's always going to be storms. There's going to be tornadoes. That stuff's going to happen. People are going to be devastated. Why can't you worry about the weightier matters of the law? Why can't we do that? I'm asking it for me, not for you guys. Larry, then Dale.
Yeah, you know, this mercy ministry thing and the balance of reality and optimism and stuff. You know, I've read Matthew chapter 25. I know that if you go out and you do the right thing to the wrong people, those who aren't the least of these, my brothers, if you're taking God's blessings that he gives into your life and you give them right back to Satan, it doesn't count for good. That's why when we go to these disaster things and everything, it really thrills my heart when they do the houses of a committed Christian that has had everything torn down. It's his brothers and sisters in Christ that come to his relief, that come to his rescue and help get him back started back on their feet and stuff. But that's the main reason why I have been led to cook for my brothers and sisters who are out there doing all that work. I know that my efforts are going to my family.
Amen, Larry. And the situation that we're in right now, boy, that opened a can of worms, right? Because certainly the government is trying to serve all people, so they tell us. Lord help us. Dale, come on in. Boy, you talk about a guy with some experience in this one. Go, Dale.
Well, here's the key word, and Larry just said it, was balance, Coach. The church is out of balance. Yeah. When your equilibriums are out, you can't walk straight. The church is not walking straight because it walks only in the mercy ministries. And you know me, brother, it's not just mercy ministries. Real testimony. And you know it. Remember, we were down in Texas and those houses were devastated. And I said, that's right. I said, the day before the storm hit, if I'd have came to your house and said, I'm here to take everything out, I said, you grab your guns and start shooting at me. But the day after, you want me to come in and take out everything out of your house. I said, God is trying to clean all your clutter that you then can build on the foundation. So even in the midst of the devastation, the word of God, that right there has to be brought forward. But people like the pat on the back, been out in front of the clinics for 25 years. I understand there's the balance of mercy and prophetic, but 90% of the church walks only in the mercy. And brother, that's why we're not walking straight, because our equilibriums are out of line.
Like a drunken man, right? We stagger like a drunken man. So folks, I see a lot of, I've been kind of following this, and we're getting ready to go down there and help as well. And people are signing up and they want to go. I'll talk about that here in a second. But I just go on the Facebook. I look at Facebook and even though I'm banned, I still scroll down through it. And I see all these ministries that have flooded to Kentucky. I think, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You couldn't get 10 of them to go to rescue children in an abortion clinic. Reggie, you couldn't get 2 of them to help you rescue little child trafficking. What is wrong with this? See, it's that balance Dale spoke about, right? In fact, we turn a blind eye to the plight of the children. We turn a blind eye. We don't want to look at it. Hurricane. Oh, yeah. Anybody want to go? Yeah, I can get a couple of days off. Hey, I need some help down at the abortion clinic. Can some of you come and help me? Oh, no, Coach, I got to work, man. I'd love to. You with me? Come on in, Reggie.
Dale's right. And you asked earlier, you know, what makes people move like that? And it's because they plaster it all over television, and it's a visual devastation. Yep. In the hand of God and the wrath of God. And so they feel good about, you know, sharing, look at this disaster, or throwing some money. But what they don't realize is, let me go back. Coach, you know, I often hear when I say something about the children, they go, prove it. Yeah. That's the key word, prove it. Well, with this, that's secret. There's no proof. But I'm going to put this out there. They're giving all this money to this disaster. All those fundraising corporations come forward and they'll give to the church, and the church says, we're going to give it to them. They don't realize these disasters, wars and disasters procure so much money. And that's exactly what happened. If people don't want to believe that this disaster happened because it was orchestrated, they're procuring money. They need money. They're going to use that money. So people like Bobby Lee, they're going to get, what, 15 people? They're going to make a difference in the eyes of God and the people that they help. But everybody else is going to be looking at these big fundraising, you know, Red Cross. And it's just disgusting because it's an oxymoron what's really happening. And when you tell them, they go prove it. So they can visually see the devastation. That's why they give. Their hearts are moved.
That's right. There's the real Red Cross.
Hey, Coach, I don't mean to jump in. Let's go back to Flip Venom's old line. God's got more disaster than our federal government has relief.
Amen. Amen. By the way, it's not the federal government's job anyway. It's the church's job. Come on in, Jeff, now.
I got so many testimonies, but I'm not going to quote them there. But I think Revelation chapter 2, starting verse 12, the compromising church through 17, it reflects that the money, they cut off Jesus Christ out of government and they compromised it. They contaminated it. It's just astonishing.
Okay. Yes. So what are we going to do? Let's keep focused that way. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Hey, I'm one of the greatest analysts of what the problem is. What's that get us? We had 30 years of Rush Limbaugh and we got worse. What do we do? What do we have to do? Craig, come on in.
Well, Coach, I think first of all, you know, it's our creature comforts. They sold us to love the most. So then when we see whoever it is, our neighbor, our brother in Christ, whoever it is, lose everything, that's what provokes us, you know?
Yeah, because Craig, our stuff matters to us. We can relate to losing our stuff. We can't relate to this other stuff.
Yes, sir.
That's what it is. Jeff, Klein, and Julie.
Coach, you're the little example here in our county, 140 churches. Can't get any of these Christians, the churches, pastors, nobody show up these school board meetings. The kids are being destroyed, and none of them show up.
That's exactly my point, Jeff. And Jeff, I wonder how many of those churches will take up an offering and send it down to somebody down in Kentucky. And then they think they will have done their duty. See, they will have done their duty.
I already got a couple phone calls this week already, just yesterday, because they know we always load up the van and we go to them disaster. They've called me, hey, you guys going again? Can I help send you? I got some stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh.
They want to send junk. They want to clean out their closets. That's what they want to do. Sad to say.
20 school board meetings in 90 days, but they didn't call to help me with that.
Right, folks, you understand? You understand the mercy and the prophetic? Do you understand? Oh, Lord, do I have to say that? Yeah, okay, I will say it. Lord, because I think I think we've turned the church into a woman.
Coach, can I just butt in for a second? You know, I go to them streets and I get a lot of help from a lot of people. But I get amazed. There'll be even like some women or even men. And they'll say, here, take this stuff, you know. And it'll be dance shoes from some ballroom or some strapped on.
Cleaning out their closets. Cleaning out their closets.
They're not taking in consideration. These are people that need tennis shoes or socks.
These are people who need Christ in their heart. That's what they need.
Yeah.
These are people who are in need of a righteous, justice-filled government. That's what they need. Huh? Hey, listen, amen. I don't care. Hey, you go eat a hamburger, you need one tomorrow. Yeah, eating food, that's a part of life. That's always going to be there. Jesus said, don't worry about him that can kill the body. Worry about him that can kill that soul, baby. And we, brother, do you know Jesus? That's as far as we take it for the most part, including me. Go ahead, Julie. Come on in. Then Joe Allen.
Morning, Dave. Thanks for letting me talk.
Sure.
I agree with Reggie. She's totally right. There's no people don't know about the trafficking and everything, and then you try to tell people that, like what you said, what trafficking? What are you talking about? You know, and there's so much big hype about the disasters. There's, you know, I got asked to go, and you know, yes, we do preach the gospel and get people saved. We're helping, but what about those kids? You know, they've never seen Jesus, or you know what I mean? And it's just like, it's hard. And it's just like, we just need to go.
Well, those of you, so Julia, you're breaking up a little bit there, dear. I don't know what's going on.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you. You come in and out. Go ahead.
Okay. But look around you. Like when you're at the grocery store, or any different people, see children with, you know, adults. See if you see anything that's, that doesn't look quite right. I have seen anything like that. And, you know, I am, you know, try to do something, not physically right there, but you know what I mean?
Yep.
Because there's these things that are, you know, out there that you really need to be captured.
We love our lives too much, Julie. We love our lives too much. Joe, come on in. And Bobby.
Well, we just got over 9/11. How many years? The great hoax. Now we don't have nothing to go to. And the hurricane goes, or tornado goes through a town. Think of the lives and the billions of dollars that we wasted over 20-something years.
Hmm.
Especially the lives, the fathers, the brothers, the sisters have died.
The PTSD, the destroyed lives as a result. I'm with you. Yep, all for nothing, right? All for nothing.
All for nothing.
All for nothing. Enough, enough. Well, you get it. Come on in, Bobby.
Hey, Reggie, when they tell you to prove it, you should say something like those rape trees on the southern border where they hang panties, that's not good enough for you. Followed by the next thing is we got the biggest human trafficking operation ever seen in human history, aided by the police, Catholic Charities, and Children and Youth, and the Border Patrol. And there's something really mentally problematic with the brain when it's that big and that vast and people act like it doesn't exist.
Well, it's a programming, Bobby. It's been a programming. We know that, right? It's what's happened to us. Rochelle, come in. Then Randy.
Hey, good morning, team. When it comes to help, we want to help when it's easy. You know, you got to go physically work. That's a lot easier than calling somebody and comforting them who's just lost their mom. And I think that's why people can deal, they would rather deal with physical labor than changing someone's heart. And when you go up to these abortion clinics, you have to get in the muck and you have to change people's hearts. And that's a lot harder than any physical labor. And you put yourself out more.
It's tangible though, Rochelle. When I go to a disaster relief and I cut up a tree, when I leave, I can see what I've done.
Absolutely.
When you go to an abortion clinic, that's why people rejoice when they go to the abortion clinic, because they had a save. I had a save. Because it's tangible. They can see it.
And fighting the concept of fighting evil, there's no direction. You know what I mean? If you give me a task that I can physically go do, I'm your girl. But if you tell me to go fight evil, I don't know what I'm doing.
Amen. Amen. How about this, folks? get you here in a second, Randy, Betty. Do we even recognize evil? Does the church even understand too? See, the Bible told us, excuse me, that we're not to be ignorant of his devices. And we are. I mean, what are his devices? Do we even know? Do we even know? They've infiltrated, told lies. Just turn on the news. It's lie after lie after lie after lie after lie. And we don't even recognize it. We don't. I got to, real quickly, I promise, coming right to you, Randy. Spencer, pull up for me that thing Betty sent me this morning. I think that's what it says on it. Where is it? Yeah, here we go. Yeah, folks, are you ready? Are you ready? Can you recognize evil? You guys want to recognize evil? There you go. What's this guy's name? I don't care what he is, but he's in charge of something. Somehow he's in charge of the whole world. I don't know how that happened. But go ahead. Listen to this. It's only a minute.
77 countries have now reported cases of Omicron. And the reality is that Omicron is probably in most countries, even if it hasn't been detected yet. Omicron is spreading at a rate we have not seen with any previous variant. We're concerned that people are dismissing Omicron as mild. Even if Omicron does cause less severe disease, the sheer number of cases could once again overwhelm unprepared health systems. I need to be very clear. Vaccines alone will not get any country out of this crisis. Countries can and must prevent the spread of Omicron with measures that work today. It's not vaccines instead of masks. It's not vaccines instead of distancing. It's not vaccines instead of ventilation or hand hygiene. Do it all. Do it consistently. Do it well.
There you are. Makes me feel good. Come on in, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I think our heart, when our heart's full of materialism, we love things, Coach. We love things. So what, when we see devastation, what do we think about? Do we think about the lives of people that are hurting or the things they lost? I think it wakes up people and stirs them emotionally to be part of it because they see things instead of the sanctity of life and about life. And I think God is trying to reveal in these weather disasters and plagues that it's about life. It's everything's about people and life. The things mean nothing in the end. And I think when he drains us financially and we don't have anything and we don't have any things, maybe our heart will reach out to people. I think that's what God's trying to do through all this, Coach.
We'll try to get it to what is the real issue, folks. Folks, again, I don't. I've said this a million times. That's probably an exaggeration. I've thought it a million anyway. The whole purpose of the Bible is to expand a kingdom. The Bible is a story of two kingdoms in conflict. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God, of Jesus. Folks, that's the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible isn't personal satisfaction, personal success, personal gratification. That's not, folks, that isn't the story of the Bible. The story of the Bible is a story, a continuous running story. It tells us in Hebrews that they without us cannot be made complete. It's a continuous running battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light.
Amen, Coach.
And we have turned all of our attention towards getting people saved. Now, I'm not against getting people saved. I'm not against that. I'm for the salvation. But that's how you expand a kingdom. It is not about 1 John 3:8. For this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he would annihilate the works of the devil. And if we are getting people saved, as that's happening, the works of the devil ought to be annihilated. The purpose is not to get people saved because they're so important to God, which is the message we all hear. The purpose of getting people saved is to enlist them in this army against good and evil. That's the purpose of, and when you enlist people into the army of God, good overcomes evil because the kingdom of God is expanded.
Amen. Amen.
Why don't we see this?
Amen.
It's like going out and trying to recruit people to play on the football team because you get free pregame meals. That's not why you're on the football team. You're on the football team because we got to play against somebody here in about 4 hours. That's why you're here. Oh, it's fun to put on the uniform and your mom washed and it's all clean, all starchy. Cheerleaders cheering, fans, oh, they're up on their feet cheering for you. It ain't about that. It's about what's going on the field. And we've totally, for most part, Christianity has done everything they can to recruit more people to sit in the stands than they have those to expand the kingdom of God. Boom. And the good thing that's going on, in my opinion, is the Lord is showing us how empty all those things are. All those things are empty. Friends, your money isn't even real. Do you know that? Tell me you know that. that I don't have one here. That piece of paper that you hold in your hands that says $100, 100 on it, it is a piece of paper. It's Amen. Only good because somebody else is dumb enough to take it. That's the only reason it's good. And we focus everything on getting a bunch of that paper. At the same time, claiming we're sharing the gospel. Now see, money is a window into somebody's heart. If you buy them a meal, they're grateful, their belly's full, their ears are open. As the old saying goes, don't tell me how much you care. Show me how much you care. And if we don't understand the importance, folks, if the education of our children isn't critical, why would the devil have put all of his forces at work to get the children? Can somebody explain that to me? And how can we, as parents and grandparents and citizens of America, not understand that if they teach the children doctrines of demons, it's going to not expand the kingdom? It's going to take, it's like plucking apples out of the Lord's garden. I don't know. I hate to be a one song concert guy here. But our entire vision of Christianity is wrong, And I'm going to say this, and this is going to make people mad too, but that's okay. I've said it before. We have a lot of new listeners, new viewers. You will never, ever, you follow me around, and you will never, ever hear me say to a lost person on the street or at the abortion clinic or in a government office, you'll never, ever hear me tell them, God loves you. You'll never, ever hear me say that. Because I don't know if he does. Say, well, God loves everybody. Does he? Show me where it says that. Somebody show me just one place where it says that he loves everybody. He loves his own. I know he loves his own. Does he love everybody? Jacob I've loved, Esau I hated. What? God hates all workers of iniquity. Does that mean he loves those workers of righteousness? Why, it seems to me this Christianity is conditional, seems to me. But we don't teach that. We teach it's unconditional. Whoever will come. Yes, it's open to whoever will come. But once you come, there's rules and restrictions you got to follow, boys and girls, just like a football team. Go out and recruit a bunch of players. They come on your team. Now they follow the rules. They can't be playing for the other team and claim to be on our team. It doesn't work that way. That's the message of modern Christianity, sadly. Sadly. I got that off my chest. I got it off my chest. Come on in, Rich, and then Mark.
Yeah, Dave, I've been stuck on the first word you came out of the show with this morning, and that was schizophrenia. That's, to me, I see that as a delusion. And the churches, they don't teach sin and repentance anymore. And they question all the people that are getting saved, because how are they getting saved if they don't know what they're being saved from?
Amen. And that's right, Rich. And saved to what?
They're still going home and living with the girl they shacked up with yesterday, thinking that they're going to heaven. And
watching porn. Watching porn. Yeah.
So that's why you got these like radio ministers, these Christian radio stations. It's a delusion. They preach faith and love all year long, and then twice a year they have a fundraiser to help support them.
Yep.
It's like, where's their faith at?
So Rich, the big conglomerate here in Ohio, what's their slogan? You hear it all the time. Uplifting and encouraging.
Yeah.
Uplifting and encouraging. What? We're in freaking war, dude. Uplifting and encouraging. Tighten your belt. Buckle up.
Yeah, we got to start telling people they're going to hell if they don't change their ways.
Amen, you know? Amen. We have to let them see. Listen, to the reality of going to hell, Rich, I don't even know if that matters anymore. I don't even know if they even believe in it, right? But we have to point out that they're on the other team. Hey, folks, we cannot be afraid to say that. Hey, dude, you're playing for the devil. Sorry, you're playing for the devil. I'm not on that team. Sorry. We're not all on the same team. That's one of the great lies. Those are the lies. Those are the deception that the enemy brings, and we don't understand. Your best life now, when the Bible said die daily. How can you have your best life now when the Bible says die daily? Come on.
You're either with me or you're against me. Isn't that what Jesus was telling me?
You either gather or you scatter. That's right. Yeah. Mark, come on in. Good call, Rich. Good. Yeah, good one, Rich.
Hey, man. One thing, coaches, I don't think churches are out there trying to save people. They're trying to comfort people. They're trying to make people comfortable, not saved. Yes. So the church is about comfort. Whenever we see Kentucky, amen. Look at all them
Oh, Mark, you're breaking up, man. Get a good cell and call back because you're on top of it for sure. Hey, Spencer, do this right now. Spencer, Google.
We're in a snow globe.
Mark, yeah, I think
we're in a snow globe, coach. So
that's good. A snow globe. One of those little globes. Yeah, we're losing you, but we're getting you. We're getting pieces of you here. Spencer, just put up Google real quick. Churches in Columbus, Ohio. Just do that real quick. Let's see some of these names here. Go ahead, Mark. Mark can't hear us. Obviously, we're having an issue there. 614 Erico. Yeah, just click on that. What have we got? See the name of mega churches. Oh, 10 best churches. Oh, well, yep. Here we are. What have we got? Abundant Life. Oh, yeah. Advent Evangelical. All Nations, Amazing Grace, Anchor Baptist, Annunciation, Antioch. We haven't got down to the Happy Talk ones yet, though, right? I'll be careful what I say. Better be careful what I say. I'll be careful. Go on in, Clay.
Well, Coach, isn't it easier to recruit to a winning team? And isn't that what we're trying to do by getting people saved is recruit? So if we're active and we get busy and we got a winning team, then people will want to come join the team. And then we won't have to preach to them about getting saved. They'll come ask us, how can I be a part of that?
Hey, Clay, what are we trying to recruit them into? What are we trying to recruit them to become part of? Maybe it's time we ask this. Maybe it's time we ask ourselves, what is it about us that anybody else would want to be like? I had a guy tell me the other day, maybe it was on this after show. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. He said, Coach, it was an email. Because I made the comment about, you either love me or you hate me. Some of you started watching it and then couldn't take it and come back. And this guy said, you know what I liked about it? He said, from the very get-go, I knew you didn't take no crap. Well, that wasn't the word he used. I liked that. He said, that's missing in American Christianity, a Christianity that doesn't take no crap.
Amen.
Go ahead. Hey, Mark, you come on back in because you broke up. You say what you said before.
Apologies on that. We're in a snow globe. So no matter what air is blowing around Earth, we're all breathing it. There's no stopping. If you fart, everybody in your general vicinity smells it. If Fukushima releases cesium in the atmosphere, it's on our side of the Rockies. That's heavy metal, not a real light virus. So there's no stopping any contagion around the whole Earth. There's no stopping it. So the reality is we are a herd immunity. And each of the countries is going to have different variants. This is silly. All of this Omicron stuff is silly. Because their genetics is what makes the variant different. And if we got different genetics than China, they're going to have a different variant. It'll come out the same time as flu season, 2, 3, 4 times a year. But all of that's a farce. We're all getting sick from the same stuff. And they're making money on some stupid capitalist elitist reason. So that's the deal. We're in a snow globe. You can look at it, think about it. There's no other explanation for that, Coach.
Great, Mark. And by the way, I don't know if that Dr. Peter McCullough interview, two things I want to emphasize to you again. Number one, you only get COVID once. Friends, you only get it once. It's impossible to get it again. They say, well, coach, I've got it twice because I went to the doctor and they told me I've had it again. No, the test is screwed up. You can't get it again. And then the second thing is this. Folks, they call it a variant because when they inject you with the vaccine or whatever that poison is, your individual body reacts differently. If I get a shot, my body reacts differently than Mark Trump's body reacts or differently than Larry's body reacts. And what we're seeing going on around us is those people who have had the shot are creating their own Frankenstein variant. That's what's happening, friends. And they're still calling it COVID. How dumb are we?
Amen, coach. Amen. Amen.
Stop using that language. It's not COVID. And if you get it, you'll never get it again. Period. Oh, you might get a variant. Oh, yeah. Somebody you play cards with every Friday night, they may breathe that thing over. No, that stuff's real, folks. That stuff's
still
real.
No flu. Still no flu.
Still no flu out there, right? Right? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Who do I get in here? I haven't been in here yet. Let's get, I know y'all want to get in here. Revelation 2015. Come on in.
Good morning, coach.
Good morning.
On the topic of COVID, the church, Christianity, just basically everything that we've been talking about this morning, I don't know if you've seen those yard signs that say, we're in this together. I hear a lot of those Christians, I hear a lot of Christians and non-Christians all say, you know, we're all in this together when it comes to COVID or the world we live in, the communities that we live in. But I guess from my perspective as a Christian, I'm not in this together with, you know, everyone.
I ain't in it with Hillary. I ain't in it with Biden. You may be. I'm not. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
But if you also break down the word together, we're in this to get her. Well, who is her? The church. I think.
Boy, oh boy. Dale, I'm in it to get her, get the church. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman.
Wow. Amen, coach. You're a football coach. So you remember when the kids come on the team? Everybody wants to be a quarterback, right? What makes a good football team? Offense and defense. Those are the teams that win. Once again, it's about balance. All we want is mercy ministry. We don't want defense. We don't want offense. We just want one particular. And brother, the scripture does not say that he's wanting to just get us saved. The scripture says in 2 Peter, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to, not salvation, not to the king, but to repentance. But to repentance.
To the knowledge of the truth. And by the way, offense, defense. You know what we are here? We're special ops. We're special teams here. We're the ones that we're the kamikaze guys that run down on the kickoff and knock people down. That's what I'm looking for. Jeff, come on. Jeff Nelden, Jeff Klein.
Yeah. I'm gonna make 2 points. I was with the Southern Baptist Convention for about 39 years, and they did some mission trips and stuff this way. They seem to say love is action. But don't preach the word of God. Don't offer the truth to the individual which you're helping out. And another thing is the communist goal is from revealing religion to social religion. So people just to feel good.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And lastly, Vladimir Lenin, and I don't know the exact quote, but it says, give me your children. I can change the world in 3 generations.
We know that, right, Jeff? We know that, and we still don't get it. We know that and still don't get it. Spencer, I just sent you something. It's a perfect example I want you to throw up. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Well, coach, I'll share this today. I was talking to you yesterday. We got a brother in Christ running for governor of Ohio. He's coming here today to Knox County at the Everlasting Coffee Cup by Napa in Mount Vernon for 1 hour. What we've done is we have Tom Branstall and I, Peterson's basically putting us to work. So we have contacted somewhere between 40 and 50 pastors to come to this 1 hour meeting this afternoon. Now, we'll see who shows, but we've put it out there to them. Neil, basically, and I've told people this, he doesn't talk about I'll cut your taxes, I'll create more jobs. His three themes on his card is freedom, faith, and truth. And when he gets up there, he starts talking, he's blasting it with our demonic government and Christian. You've got to have Christian morals. We got to have Christians lead this state of Ohio back to where it ought to be. And I mean, he hammers it. So we've basically said, pastors, come over and meet this dude.
Where is that, Jeff?
Everlasting Cup in Mount Vernon, Ohio. What time is it? 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, Everlasting Cup. Neil, we're going to get Neil on the show here. Throw that back up on the screen for me real quick, if you could, Spencer. Did you guys see this? Tracy just sent me this? Huh? The blood of Jesus will not save you from COVID. Get vaccinated. Huh? Look at that. Larry, come on in, then Randy.
Yeah, I got two things I want to bring up real quick. Number one is just before the Bible lists the seven elementary principles of Christ found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Just before those seven things are listed, the last verse of chapter 5 tells you to learn to discern good from evil by practicing discerning good from evil. And that, wow. And I believe one of the ladies, I can't remember her name, talked about that earlier. And that is so true. It is so important. If you don't know what's evil, how are you going to fight it? How are you going to stand against it? We've got to start practicing that.
And we don't teach it, Larry. We don't teach it. Go ahead.
And the second thing I want to say is I fully agree with you. Let's stop using their language. Let's stop using everything as COVID-19 when people don't get it twice, et cetera, et cetera. And let's apply that to our own arena. Let's stop calling satanic social clubs churches. Let's stop it.
Randy.
Yeah, Coach, you know, football is pretty unique. It's one of the few sports that has special teams. You know, most sports are offense or defense.
Right.
So Coach, a special team can play both. They can do both. You know, you're either defensive or offensive, so they can go both ways. The problem with the church is, and I agree with Larry, not every church is a church. But all they do is play defense. All they do is play defense. They never play offense. So that's part of the problem. You know, we're fighting a war here, and all if you're going to do is defend, I mean, you're going to eventually be conquered.
Randy, we
got 1% playing offense. How is that going to work out?
Because we've been taught that prayer is offense. Hey, folks,
amen.
Prayer is the fuel in your tank to go play offense. Prayer fuels your tank. Prayer is not fighting. Prayer fights in the heavenlies to destroy the principalities and powers that are over certain things, but you have to go pull down, root up, pluck out. We have to do it.
Amen.
Prayer propels action. Prayer alone doesn't do anything. It disarms the enemy. We don't even go in and pick up their weapons once they're disarmed because we're taught that praying is fighting. Now, wait a minute. It is a form of fighting, but it's not enough. Prayer alone doesn't do it. Silver, then Trent.
Okay, Coach, one of the things that we miss a lot of is when we get somebody saved, we think that's it, and they just go on in their little way. We don't disciple anybody, and we need to do that so they understand where they are in the rank of things, if there is such a thing, within the five gifts, okay? And as they learn, because some are called to be just, you know, teachers. Some are called to be evangelists. But you can't just do it. There has to be a little training somewhere along the line. So they know. what to do.
That's right. Hey, Joe, I get them saved out. If I get them saved out on the street, I got to tell you, I don't know what church to send them to. That's part of the problem. I'm afraid what they're going to hear when they get inside that church. Spencer, pull up Battleground of the Mind. Trent, come on in. Then I've got something to close with. Go ahead.
Coach, you said, you know, we know it, but we still don't get it. And that's so true. I mean, you talk to people on the streets. This queue, I gotta say, God bless this group and, you know, motivate us and continue to fuel us. But you talk to people that understand and they know, but they still go back to, well, we're going to get the Republicans in.
Yep.
We're still going to get the, you know, they know that the school system is teaching you Marxism and just hatred and lies, but they still stick their kids in the government schools. And then, I mean, there's just so many, they know it's all propaganda, but they still go to Fox News and just, that's playing in the background. They still, they still believe the history, you know, that was taught by these people. It's like, no, you cannot believe a word they say. It's all lies.
We don't believe it. Second lies. Corinthians, Spencer asked for, I'm sorry, not Psalm 2. 1, 2, 3, fourth thing down, battleground is the mind. Because it's exactly what Trent was just speaking about there, folks. Our mindset, our mind. Go to verse 2 Corinthians, verse 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Folks, how do you pull down strongholds? What? Casting down imaginations. What are imaginations? Images that they've already created in your mind. CNN, Fox, public schools, they've created these images in your mind. You got to cast them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that says it's above God, cast that thing down. And we don't. We embrace it. We embrace Fauci and the NIH. And we embrace these. We have to cast them down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring it into, take it captive. Bring it into captivity to what does Jesus say about it? Having an all readiness to revenge all disobedience. In other words, having in readiness the ability to do something about it when all of a sudden you get the picture. When your obedience is fulfilled. Oh, no, I see. I can't just pray about it. What's 7 say, Spence? Do you look on the things on their outward appearance? If any man trusts to himself that he's Christ's, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification and not for destruction, I should not be ashamed. We're ashamed. We're ashamed of the truth. It's where our battle lies. And one of the things the Lord is doing is he's separating that, folks. We're moving into a wartime mode in modern Christianity. And if we don't move into wartime mode, Christianity isn't going to disappear. God will raise up somebody else to do it. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, wherever you live, you're the salt of the earth right there. That's what you're supposed to do. I can't do anything about Washington, D.C., but I can do something about local there. We all have to begin to think that way. That's the body of Christ. That's expanding the kingdom. That's what it means. Jack, quickly. Let go yesterday, Jack.
Oh, hey, we don't think or pray deeper than a mud puddle. We always pray, send laborers, Lord. Send laborers. Send somebody to talk to my son. Send somebody. And then we go, oh, wait, but I'm just going to sit here and pray. Maybe we're the one that is supposed to be sent. Maybe we're the one that's supposed to be the mouthpiece. Instead, we don't think deeper than a mud puddle.
We don't, Jack. Maybe we're supposed to go to somebody else's son. Maybe we're supposed to do that. Mark Trump, come on in.
Briefly, time before Noah, just like Trent said, we need to look at the times we're living in, and society's getting consumed beyond our ability to reason with them. Think about the times before Noah. They had to invade our species and create, what'd they create? Nephilim? corrupted beings. They call them aliens. Illegal aliens were created on Earth, and it flooded our species until Noah was the only one left. What is coming across the border?
Daggone it. I knew you were going there.
So maybe we stop calling them illegal immigrants, Larry. They're not immigrants, are they? They're aliens. And we're right in the times before Noah.
Wow. I got to run. God. Oh, my good Mark. That's a mic drop at the end, right? They are aliens, aren't they? They are aliens. And they're destroying us, huh? They're destroying us. Got to run. God bless you. See you tomorrow.